everybody. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to Sanity in an Insane World. A lot going on in the world today. And today the subject matter is America's new Middle East policy. A lot's happened in the last month vis-a-vis Israel, the Middle East, Obama, Iran, and so on and so forth. The Obama administration reached a deal, let's say an overtime, with the Iranian government on their nuke program. I've gone over the specifics of it, but not in detail. I've glanced through them. There's all kinds of terms or whatever, but the more important thing is, can you really trust these people in Iran? Obama came out and said that this is a good deal for Israel, and he's got Israel's back, and he cares about Israel's security. Is that so, or do you really believe that? There's so many ways to cover this issue, so let's just start first with Obama's Israel policy towards Israel. There's no question in my mind that in foreign policy, the Israeli-Palestinian-Israeli conflict is the holy grail, if you will, of foreign policy. Whatever president can actually reach a two-state solution where both sides agree and there's actual peace with Israel and their Arab neighbors, specifically the Palestinians, it would be the biggest breakthrough of foreign policy in I don't know how long in U.S. history. And I have no doubt that every president wants to achieve that for his legacy. Even if it means not getting a good deal, their legacy is more important than the practical realities on the ground. In the last month, as we all know, Netanyahu went to Congress and gave his speech about why the deal was bad. And Obama basically blew him off and said that he knows better and that he was just endangering Israel because of his tactics and his policies and so on and so forth, he being Netanyahu. In any event, before the election last month, everyone wrote Netanyahu off. They were writing his obituary that he was finished. And much to everyone's surprise, he ended up winning, which didn't go over well, not just with Obama, but with all the media, the left-leaning media, not just the United States, around the world. And after that happened, Obama basically said he's got to reevaluate his position with Israel. And then subsequently, shortly after that, he worked out the deal with Iran. Now, a lot of people will say that Iran is there to stay and that you have to talk with your enemies and so on and so forth, and that reaching a deal is important, and Obama certainly thinks that this deal is a good thing. However, the Israelis obviously didn't vote Netanyahu in if they agreed with him. And what's also very interesting is that the Arab countries are not at all excited about the fact that Iran reached a deal, which I think is quite telling because they know what's going on in their neighborhood. And, you know, people say that the deal is good because you have to work out a deal and talk with your enemies and work something out with them. And other people think that the deal is no good because this is just going to start a nuclear arms race in the Middle East, and all the Arab states are going to want nuclear arms. They do not like each other, the Sunnis and the Shias. Iran being the Shia major power, and essentially all the Arab countries are Sunni, with the odd exception. Syria obviously has a lot of Shia influence in it. And apparently now so does Yemen, because the Saudis have been bombing these Houthi rebels there, and parts of Iraq as well. But generally speaking, the Arab world is much more Sunni than Shia. And there's a long history of conflict between the Sunni and the Shia. So let's just go back a little and talk about Obama. I personally am of the opinion that Obama's policies are more about getting a deal. I think he was just desperate to get the deal, to save face, to get the deal done, because that's what he wanted. And I really think that's the big difference between the left-leaning political ideology and the right-leaning. The left wants to get along. The left wants to be kumbaya. The left wants to have deals without looking at the content. And the right is the other extreme. You can't trust these people, and no deal is better than a bad deal, and so on and so forth. I personally don't think you can trust an Iranian regime that hangs homosexuals in public, that has parades chanting death to America and death to Israel, that's the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, that backs Hezbollah, that backs Hamas, that backs these rebels in Yemen that have recently been bombed. and so on and so forth. It's a big problem. It's all good and well to want to have peace. I think everyone wants peace, but Neville Chamberlain once upon a time went to Munich and came back waving a piece of paper saying peace in our time. I think everyone knows what happened after that, and you have to be realistic as to who it is you're negotiating with. During the Cold War, there was the mutual deterrence factor where the Russians were certainly on a different ideological page, but they weren't religious zealots and they didn't have the same worldview as the mullahs and the Revolutionary Guard does in Iran, who are religious zealots and they believe in their religious viewpoint, and it's a big, big problem. But let's just look at like Obama's history with Israel, and I'm not going to cite everything because there's so many things. I'm just going to bring up a few points. He basically made a statement a few years ago about how Israel should return to its 67 borders, and I think he's the first major political figure, certainly U.S. president, that stated that. John Kerry made a statement a while ago that said that if Israel continues along its path, it risks becoming an apartheid state. People in his administration have made other comments similar to that. We won't just talk about Israel, we'll talk about ISIS and how ISIS, if ISIS had, there was a woman from the State Department, I can't remember her name, I think her name was Mary Heft or Haft or something like that, that said that the reason these people are doing this is because there's lack of opportunities and this is what they're doing. Which, whenever I hear this argument, is extremely infuriating because the insinuation is that because they're economically downtrodden, they're committing these acts of terror, which is complete nonsense because there's other people that are in the same sort of situation from different backgrounds that don't do it. And even if that is true, how does this justify lashing out at the rest of the world? Because it's not just America and Israel, as we saw last weekend. It's happening in Kenya. It's happening all over Africa. It's happened in Asia. It's happened in Russia. It's happened in India, everywhere. This is not an American or an Israeli or even a Western problem. This is a global phenomena. Other issues of the Obama administration and his people and some of the things that have been said and done. His administration eased certain immigration restrictions on people with limited terror ties. He recently mentioned at a breakfast in Washington that Christians shouldn't be on their high horse because of the Crusades, in reference to what Islamic militants are doing around the world, as if what's happening today is comparable to what happened centuries ago. He basically instructed his people at Nassau to outreach the Muslim community to make them feel proud of their accomplishments and what they've done. He said that the call to prayer is one of the most beautiful things that he's ever heard. He said the media blows the terror threat out of proportion. His Cairo speech was an outreach to the Muslim world. He said that the attack on the kosher deli in Paris after the Charlie Hebdo attack was random. He said, and his whole foreign policy in the Middle East, about leading from behind, drawing the red line in Syria. He said that Yemen was a success. He said that Somalia was a success. I mean, I can go on and on and on, but I do not know what world this guy is living in. I think there's a big difference between what you want to be and what is. And unfortunately, I think that Obama's worldview is one of idealism and, forgive me for saying this, narcissism, where he thinks that because of his cult of personality, he's going to be able to make things happen the way he wants, and it's just not so. I personally consider myself an independent. There are many things that I hear people on the right say that I vehemently disagree with, and many things I hear people on the left say they vehemently disagree with. Having said that, I feel that the left is much more in the wrong on the issues that are more important, such as national security, terrorism, cultural preservation, things of that nature. And I think these are the more important issues in our time. There's other things that I do agree with him on, more on social issues, on economic issues. I think both the right and the left have some issues that need to be worked on. But on this foreign policy issue, this guy Obama and his vision and his fellow travelers scare me. You know, you look at the Middle East and you look at all the countries that are there. Whatever your take may be, if you're a Westerner and you believe in religious freedom and freedom of speech and pluralism and tolerance and gay rights and so on and so forth. There's only one country in the Middle East that subscribes to these views, and that's Israel. You can't be gay and walk out publicly in a Muslim-majority country without fearing for anything. Women are by far treated as second-class citizens in just about every Arab country, if not all. And recently, if you can believe it, the United Nations came out and said that Israel had the worst record of treatment towards women in the world, which is a joke in and of itself, as so is the United Nations. But gay people can walk freely in the streets of Tel Aviv without fear, but they couldn't do the same thing in any other country in that area, in that part of the world. It's a big issue. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, that the two-state solution, the Israeli-Arab conflict, is the holy grail of foreign policy, and everyone desperately wants to come to a solution. The question is, how do we do it? I personally don't think that there's an old saying, if the Arabs would lay down their weapons, there'd be no more war, and if the Israeli would lay down their weapons, there'd be no more Israel. I fail to see how Israel can make peace, certainly not with Hamas, whose charter calls for the destruction of Israel, who indoctrinate their kids to hating Israel, who fire rockets indiscriminately, who will not accept Israel, and it goes on and on and on. And the Palestinian Authority isn't much better. They also won't let Jews own property in their society. They celebrate when Jews get killed. They name public places after terrorists that kill Jews. They celebrate when Jews are killed. They would not acknowledge the right of Israel to exist either, and their charter also calls for the destruction of Israel. I mean, what is Israel supposed to do? Every time Israel does something or makes any kind of gesture, it blows up in their face. When Barak tried to offer Arafat everything that he wanted, Arafat walked away and started an intifada. When they gave up Gaza as a sign of peace and gesture, the Arabs took over the place, destroyed all the infrastructure in the greenhouses, elected Hamas, and started to fire rockets. When they left southern Lebanon, the same thing, they got attacked. So what are they supposed to do? It's a big problem, and I don't have an answer for it because I don't think that there is one. And, you know, everyone wants there to be peace, but it ain't happening. And that's the subject for today. So we'll speak about it, and it's obviously a very controversial one. Many people feel that it's all Israel's fault. They're the bully, and they're taking advantage, and they're treating the Palestinians poorly, and that's why they're lashing out like this. And many people feel that, the way I do, that no matter what Israel does, it'll be thrown in their face because the Arabs don't want peace. That's why they chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They're not interested. This is the subject for today. Let's do it.